Last time we spoke about the melachos deraisa that there are that you're not allowed to do on Shmita. This time we talk about the melachos derabanan. And just a really short summary that there are very, very few melachos that are asur deraisa. Just about everything that you could do that you do on Shmita is asur only derabanan. But there's an important rule which we spoke about last time. You saw the same slide last time, just about which was that the big rule is as follows: when you want to do something for ukmi ilana, to keep a tree growing, to keep it from getting damaged, that's okay. But if you want to do it for ukmi ilana, to make a tree get better or to have a better output, that's what's offered by melachos rabbanan. Okay, so. On the bottom is
great graphic.
This is the big important kula that by all melachos rabbanan, which is almost everything that you do in Shemitah, if it's for ukmi ilana, to keep the tree from losing what it has, that's mutar. Okay, so now in understanding that rule, I'm going to go through.
So far, is there no question to figure out the difference between maintaining and improving?
No, of course not. And that's why I was about to say is that there are many, many details to those things. We're going to talk about some general rules of thought. Which by no means are we going to cover everything. There's lots and lots. It's all, I forgot which parak it is. It's a long parak. It's the first parak in Hilchos Shmita V'Yavo. Many, many details of what is and what is not. Okay? Like this. The first thing is like this. When we say that something is for Hefsid, the Gemara compares Cholamoid and Shmita, the rules are very similar. In fact, this Mekaten, well, people in Daf Yomi are learning about, is about Cholamoid, Shmita, and Avelos, because they have very similar rules as to when you're allowed to do Melacha, when you're not allowed to. But Chazanish says, there's a significant difference between Cholamoid and Shvias, and that is as follows. On Cholamoid, if a person has a loss, excuse me, something is a dover or oven, so they're going to lose something, they don't do this melacha, they're allowed to do it. On Shvias, that's not the way it works. On Shvias, we don't care about, so to speak, about a person's private loss. We only care about things that are, in general, would be a loss. Meaning, this type of field, if you don't water it, every so often the trees are going to die. That's a general, everybody has that problem. Then that kind of field will have to be watered. If you happen to be having your own particular problem, that's not enough reason to be mounted. Okay, now there is such a thing. There are things that a person has a personal, very big hefsid that he's allowed to do things also. That's a separate din. But this din, the din that says that for ukmi ilana you're allowed to do it is for things that are for dvarim hat, what he called dvarim hat kolim sarabim, the things that are for everybody. So to speak, anybody with this kind of field or in this kind of situation has that problem, not for private things. Okay, so that's our first rule. Only rat dvarim hat kolim sarabim, only for things that are for that would be a general thing. Now. That said, Chazon says there is a reason why the Gemara compares Shvias to Cholamoid. He says like this. This is in the second place. He says like this. The Gemara, I told you the rule is, and whatever it calls it, that ukmi ilana, to take care of a tree, you're allowed to keep a tree from falling apart, you're allowed to do these melachas. The Rambam says that the reason why the Chachamim allowed you to do these things, because if not, he says, if not for that, Taseh ha'aretz melecha v'yamos kol eitzaba. Okay, if you wouldn't allow, the Chachamim wouldn't have allowed you to do things ukmi ilan by Yisroel Rabbanan, then all the trees in the whole Eretz Yisrael would die out, and that would be bad for overall for Eretz Yisrael. He says, Afo Pikin, he brings riyas that the kula of ukmi ilana does not only apply to saving a tree or to saving a field, but even to saving a crop also. Even to save the fruit that's on the tree, you could also do things. That means that if your oranges are not going to come out right because you don't do this and this melacha, that's also a hetzer. Now, the words that we call ukmi ilana means to save the tree. And the difference between the two things is that a tree or a field belongs to you. The tree and the field are not hefker, and they're not not able to be taken care of. So when we say that there's a rule that you're allowed to ukmi ilana, or you're allowed to protect your land, that's more logical. To say that I can protect my fruit, to do things that the fruit should come out better, is a chiddush. Rav Kook argues on it. Rav Kook says, no, it's not true. He says, of course it's not true. He says, how can it be that you're allowed to do things to protect the fruit? The fruit is hefker. The fruit is not even yours. What do you mean you're doing things to help the fruit along? Why do you think you should be allowed to do that? And the Chazanish brings Raya's from Rishayim, that the din is that you're allowed to do it even to protect the fruit, to make your crop come out better. And his rayas have to do with cases of things. Rishonim talk about doing ukmi ilana for grains and for vegetables. Well, grains and vegetables, by their nature, there's no tree to them. They're things that are only, they're only around for 1 year, and afal pi ken you're allowed to do this. So this kula, which many people take advantage of, this is I've mentioned to you, listen, there's going to be three kulas we're going to mention from the Chazon Ish. This is one of the major kulas of the Chazon Ish, which is very significant. And the reason why it's significant is because the way that farmers who keep Shemitah make some money, the way they support themselves, I've mentioned this quickly in passing, we'll get to it later, which is, it's called Oitzer Bezin. Oitzer Bezin is, I'll say it in short, is that the field is Hefker, no one does anything for the field, but Bezin appoints people to collect the fruit that are there, package it, and deliver it to the cities. No one lives out in the middle of Moshav, whatever, Nachliel, whatever it was called, out in the middle of no place. No one lives there, so they package all the fruit and they bring it to town, and then they distribute it to people. And when Bezin does that, they're allowed to charge for the delivery, for the packaging, for even for picking it off the field. Bezin is allowed to appoint someone, and that you can pay for. You can't pay for the fruit, but you can pay for everything around. All the work that it took to get it to you. Well, Bezin appoints the farmer to do that for his own field. So they say, farmer, you pick it off the field, you put it into bags and bring it to town, and then they pay him for all that work, so the farmer can make some money out of his field, even though he can't sell his fruit. But they say, you know the best about how to take care of this field, you take care of it, we designate you to do that job, and then they pay him for his work. Bezin pays him. But Bezin does is they collect money from people. They charge $1 a pound for the oranges, and they give the dollar to the person. And they say to him, we're paying you for your picking and for your delivery and for your packaging and all your things. What?
I guess we get to it, right?
We're going to get to that.
Technical?
Yeah, we'll get to Oitzip. When we talk about Oitzip, we have some time for that. That's like the fifth or sixth topic. I don't remember what it is. We have some time for it. But it's no, the Bezin. It's sixth one. So we'll get to it. We'll talk to Oitzip. But a farmer can't do that if nobody's going to want to buy his oranges. Okay, even at $1 a pound for oranges, people are not going to pay for oranges that look like dreck. I mean, they're not going to pay for them if they're damaged and in terrible shape. So in order to be able to sell your stuff through Oitzer Bezin, so to speak, sell your produce, it has to be presentable. So farmers who want to keep Shemitah and make some money at using the Oitzer Bezin system have to have fruit that's presentable, that anybody's going to want to eat. So this kula that I sent you from the Chazon Ish, that you're allowed to do things for ukmilona, not just to keep the tree around, but to keep the fruit around, plays a big role in these people being able to have fruit that they could sell, that they could distribute through the Oitzer Bezin. If they wouldn't have anything usable, they wouldn't get any money at that. So this is one of the, I told you I'm going to do 3-1 now, 2 at the very end. Three big kulas of the Chazon Ish that play into people who want to keep Shemitah, but still want to get a few dollars out of it. Yes, sir.
What's the head there? Just because I want to have a job, like I say, I want to fix your plumbing and whatever. You look at them, and if you ever need a plumber, I go, is this rubber any good? And you have a job. There's no rubber, you have no job. I'm allowed to take care of the fruit in order to have a job to live here.
No. You're not saying I'm taking care of the fruit because I want to have a job. I'm taking care of the fruit so people have what to eat. The fruit is hefker, so I'm...
For the consumer.
But if there would be no consumers, then there's no money for the farmer either. He doesn't really care about it. He doesn't really care about the consumers. He really cares about his pocket.
It's not why he's doing it, but his motivation of why he's doing it.
Well, the reason that he should be allowed to do it is that the people can eat it. But he cares about people can eat it because he's going to get a dollar out of that also, because he's going to have it. Okay? So the Rav Kook does not agree with this. Rav Kook says there can't be such a thing. And the Chazon Ish, it's in parentheses there. The Chazon Ish only says you can only do it for fruit that's mutter. Okay, it's sort of logical. You can't do this for fruit that would be sweetened. There's fruits that are osity, vegetables that you can't eat on Shemitah, but according to Chazon Ish, you do, and a lot of people are Shemitah in school. Okay, Rav Kook says no deal. But Chazon Ish says that's mutter. Okay. Well, not necessarily. You could have Oitzer Bezin if the apples grow nicely, they can bring them out, people can eat them. But for it to be functional, you have to have really presentable fruit. And fruit doesn't just grow nicely. Someone, a farmer has to take care of it to do the ukmilana to keep it from getting damaged, etc. Okay, now, that's it. So I told you, okay, so there's this kula from the Chazon Ish that you can do things that are to help the tree. On that, Rabbi Asher says, I have to tell you, just hold on a second. He says, this that you could do things to help the tree, that you could help the fruit, I'm sorry, not the tree, you could help the fruit, that if what you're doing is to help the fruit be more edible. Okay? He says, what happens if what you're doing is not to make the fruit more edible? You're doing it to make the fruit come to market at the right time. if you want it to come to market at a time that is really financially beneficial for it to come to market. So now, all of a sudden, you're not doing it for the fruit. Now you're doing it for your own pocketbook, but sort of whatever was hit together before, then you're not allowed to do that. He says, what happens another thing? Let's say you're doing it not for the fruit and not for the time, but he says, let's say you want to do it, you want to make sure your esrig doesn't have any blemishes in it that would make it possible for an esrig. But I don't do eating it. You just want to make it look more beautiful because for a mitzvah, it's going to look, this will be, you know, it'll be more desirable for the mitzvah. But it has nothing to do with eating. That's also not mutter. What you're allowed to do is to make it more, the food more available for eating. If you're doing it for business purposes, you're doing it for, to make your thing more kosher for a mitzvah, you're not allowed to do that. That's his example. He says, if you're putting netting around the trees to help protect the fruit from getting damaged, that's okay. If you're putting netting around the trees to keep the essence from getting banged up in a way that will make it not as kosher for a mitzvah, that you're not allowed to do.
There's a lot more categories than ukmi and aruni.
Well, the deeper...
Except for ukmi, usher,
I'm going to talk that in passing in a second. Okay, that's a good question.
But you can go and take an esser and use it for your mitzvah.
You could use it. The question is, could you malachas rabbanon to make the esser be more beautiful? Could you do that?
But isn't using the esrog in the mitzvah and sukkahs, isn't the equivalent of consuming that esrog? You're saying no, we only dafka talks about...
Only to... Do you think the law will help you to eat? Correct. To be able to eat.
Even though it's a mitzvah to do, and it's the same word.
I don't...
You're doing to the apple tree, correct. Doing to the esrog tree.
Correct.
But because one has an ultimate... Not consumed in by eating.
One is the one
healthy consumed in a mitzvah.
Well, it's not consumed in a mitzvah.
That's not correct.
Now, Rabbi Asher says, even though he said this, what I just said was, in essence, is a chumrah, he says that's only true by foods. He says if you have something that's not meant for eating at all, he says like flowers, we'll talk about flowers one day, like flowers, where for flowers, his words are, he says, Mara Hanoi, the beauty of the flower, who are te'elis, that's what you get out of these plants. He says, "Ukeilu hu hapri shogan hanoi." It's like as if the produce of a garden is how beautiful the flowers are. So for that, you can do ukmi lana to make the flowers look pretty. If what you ukmi lana will make them look pretty, that's okay. But when you're talking about a fruit that's an edible item, an edible item, then you can't do it for the mara, for the how it looks, unless it has to do with the eating. Yes, what do you want to say?
People,
as
Israel, is for food or for the mitzvah?
But they are food. Whether you choose to eat it or not, that's, you know. But
make it for jelly.
Okay.
It's like potatoes, you know. If let's talk about dehydrated potatoes, what bracha they write. So if the potatoes are specifically grown for it to be whatever it is, then they get like cured.
Right.
So Israel are grown specifically for just like this.
Okay. I'm skipping the next thing. Okay. You can look it on the board if you can. I'm skipping that. Okay. The next thing is, Chazir says like this. He says, this kula that we have, that ukmi ilana is mutter, you'll have to do malachas rabban for ukmi ilana. He says, that's, Chazal are giving you a kula. They're letting you off the hook. In order, like the Rambam said, the word Rambam says, to save Eretz Yisrael from just falling apart, that the whole place will become, all the trees will die out. See, he says, it's a kula, Chachamah, letting you do something. He says, Mamela, you have to do what you can to avoid malachas rabbanan. And that means is, if you have a choice, you're going to have to do something to your trees. And you can either do it today, it's El, or you could do it in a month from now when it's going to be Tishrei. He says, so you should do it in El instead of in Tishrei. When it comes the end of the year, it comes the end of Shemitah, and you have to do something towards the end of Shemitah. You could do it today, or you could do it in a week from now. He says, push it off to after Shemitah. Okay? He says, you're taking advantage of a kula. He says, so don't do it. Try to minimize what you have to do. Now you should know, Rashi Weiss brings, his mom is commanded, but very few Yerushalmi, not into Chazanish, but Yerushalmi actually declares, he says, maybe you should think that in Shemitah, you shouldn't be allowed to, you should have to push off things when it comes near the end of Shemitah, you should push them off. And Yerushalmi says, you don't have to. It's a kasha. Okay, it's a kasha. The Chazanish says such a thing. But Rav Ashwai he says, even though the Chazanish said that you need to minimize the Isser, he says, that only means is when you choose, do I have the Hefzit, do I not have the Hefzit, do I need to do this, do I not need to do this, you should be, minimize what you have to do. However, if you have, once the thing is mutter, he says, there's no din any place that says, that for example, you should ask a goy to do the Malach instead of a Yid. He said, that doesn't make a difference. Mutter it is. Once it's mutter, you could do it. Because there are friends who clear about this. Maybe she is going to do it, because you can imagine, going doing the malach is easier than you. He says, no such thing. He says, hey, mamru. Once Chazal said that these malachas are not usher in this case, you're allowed to water your field, you're allowed to water your field. In this case, you're allowed to water it. No problem, you could do it also. But if you have a choice, should I water it? That's, he says, that's when you're supposed to be trying to think about it. Okay? So the Chazish is more... When you have a choice, should I do it or should I not do it? I mean, should I do it today when it's not Shemitah, or should I do it tomorrow when it's going to be Shemitah? Do it today instead of tomorrow. But you could avoid the Hefzid. You could do it before Shemitah, you could do it after Shemitah. Right. Then you should do that. To minimize what you're doing on Shemitah. But once you're allowed to do it, it's in the middle of Shvat, and you have to do this Malacha, now it's Mutter. Now the Chacham said it's Mutter, so you can do whatever you want to. Look, you should do it. It doesn't make a difference. At that point, Mutter is Mutter. Okay. Because one is deciding, is there a Hefzid or not? So there's no hefset to do it on Tam Gedalia. You could have done it on Rosh Hashanah. There wasn't a hefset. But once it was mutter, today it's Tu B'Shvat, and it's mutter to do it. So then now it's hefset. So now Chacham, hey mamru, his words are hey mamru, hey mamru, this is Rosh Hashanah. Hey mamru, hey mamru, and now it's mutter, you're doing mutter. Okay, now, the last thing for this part is like this. Something a little scary, okay, which is like this. The Rambam says, you're not allowed to fumigate a tree in order to kill insects that would destroy the tree. And the Rambam says, you know, if you have a sapling that's very weak and it needs, it'll fall over and it'll die, you're not allowed to support it. You're not allowed to put something up to hold it up. Excuse me, on Shemitah. So the Chazal says, well, wait a second. What happened to the rule that for Uk Milana, if we have insects, they're going to eat the plant, so, and I'm going to fumigate it. Fumigating would only be an insect drop on them. He says, so why can't I do that to Ukmi 1 to keep the animals from eating the plant? Or why can't I keep the tree from keeling over? I'm going to support it. So the Chazanesh says a rule. The Chazanesh says a rule that, Hacha, in these cases, he says, Mechse Tveik Avoida. What you're doing looks more like Avoida, like Malacha, and therefore it's Asher. Okay, and Chazanesh doesn't tell us what that means. And Chaim Kineski says, well, now what do I do? You just told me that there are some things that look worse. He says, what exactly looks worse about fumigating than watering or a bunch of other machas that are all over the place that you'll have to do? He says, if you give me this rule that if it looks worse like Avodah, I can't do it, now I'm finished. Because now I can't do anything except for what it says in the Gemara. I mean, except for the specific case. I said, how am I ever going to know which is Mechzik Tveik HaVoida, which one is not? Fumigating, we would have guessed that was okay. We would have guessed that killing the bugs from getting attacked in your tree, that would have thought was mutter to us. He said, so what's the rule? The Chazanesh just left us hanging and says, the things that look worse, those are things that are also. He's like, what are we supposed to do with it then? What are we supposed to do with that rule? He says, the rule, in other words, it cripples us. We makes us not be able to ever apply the din except for the very specific cases that the Gemara gave. So he says, first of all, he brings Rishonim about another pshat in those dinim. Okay? Why those things are also. Those are Gemaras that they're also. He has other pshatim why they should move them. Then he says his own pshat. He says, maybe, it's not because it's Mechzik Tzvei Kavoida. He says, maybe the rule of Mechzik Tzvei Kavoida means is, if you're doing Malacha in the tree, that looks worse. And you only have to do Malacha in the ground. Okay, you let it water the ground, but doing something in the tree, like fumigating the tree, maybe that's what's Mechzik Tveik HaVoida. He's not very convinced. He wants to say pshat. It's a little complicated. I'm going to say it in short. It has to do with what Yossi said before, which is like this. He says, if I have something that's Ukmi Ilana, that thing is not Asher at all. If I have something that's for Avuri Ilana, to help the tree to make it grow better, that's Asher. So he says, if it's Ukmi, what happens if we have both of them simultaneously? What if I have Ukmi one and a Vriyu Yonah? What I'm doing is going to prevent damage and help the tree at the same time. What do I do now if I have those together? So he says, the Ukmi Ilana part of it, it's as if non-existent, as if I didn't, that's enough, that's a neutral. Remember I said to you at the beginning, the Chazanish said, on Shemitah, it's not that we're being mocked for Hefzid. It's not that it's a Malacha, which we're mocked for your Hefzid. It's that it's not a Malacha at all for you. It's like I said to you, it's Hey Mamru for Hey Mamru. It's not a Malacha at all. If it's not a Malacha at all, then the part that's Ukmi Ilana is as if non-existent. The part that's Ivri Ilana, the part that's going to make a tree grow better in the future, that part is Asher. So if you have a mix of both Malachas together at the same time, that's Asher. And that's how he runs, I'm not telling you why, but that's how he runs, is the pshat and the din of these cases of the trees. It's a mixture of Avruilon and Ukmilon, and that's when it's also. It's only also when it's a mixture of the two of them together.
Honestly, how supportive a tree makes it.
I don't remember how he says it. He has a pshat. He says, it's a bowl. It's a two together. I don't remember. We can look it up. I'll show you the model. And Mamela, that's the case is why it's also there. So I have to tell you, Chaim Kinsky is a tremendous Talmud of Chazanish, which is wonderful. But so in the Sefer, there's this long bureau to explain why he doesn't understand what the Chazanish is talking about. But in the body of the Sefer, it just says what the Chazanish says, and therefore, if it's Mesek Tech HaGoy, you're not allowed to do it. Okay? He, you know, quotes right out of the Chazanish Sefer, even though he says in the bureau, he doesn't know what he's talking about, he doesn't know what it means, etc. He has a whole bunch of questions. Anyhow, that's what he says. Okay, so we went through, did I put this one up? One more. Okay? The Chazanish says this in Barak Masha, in the Mesek Tech HaGoy, whatever that means. Okay. So I want to...
Maybe you can only... It's only also the Gemara says it's
only.
Well, you can't. Can't or only also. Only also. You can't make up Mexi Tekevin unless it says the Gemara.
You want to say that way? What you say is everything's mutter except the few cases that he said. Okay, well, he said, well, once you tell me the order or something that really looked bad, he said, how am I supposed to know which ones work? You're not giving me any like anything to work with. He said, these look worse. What's the criteria?
The starting point is that should be mutter, right? Well, that Gemara talking to itself, we would have said it's Okami and it's mutter,
right? So whatever it is, he didn't take it that way, but okay, that's a more liberal way of thinking things. Right, he didn't take it that way. Okay, so now, most of the people who deal with these dinim, who really have to do with these dinim, as you're hearing, these are farmer-related dinim. Avoid the sakarkas for farmers. Of course, a person who has a private garden. I'm going to try to give you some examples for people who are not farmers, okay, for non-farmer people. So a person who's a not farmer, of course, wouldn't do the Malchus Deraisa. If he no planting tomatoes on Shemitah. Okay, you're not allowed to do Zerveya. So if he goes outside to his backyard, if you have a backyard and everything, so you can't plant tomatoes. Okay, so the Malchus Deraisa are pretty straightforward. He wouldn't do it. The Zerveya is probably the easiest one that he might end up doing. Okay, he can't do Zerveya. But in Malachas Rabbanu, when would a person have these shayas of Malachas Rabbanu? I have a few cases here of situations where a person would come across, a private person would come across these Malachas Rabbanu. Like this. I mentioned a few times, it's like the prime example of what Ukmi Ilana you're allowed to do is watering things. Plants that will die if you don't water them is mutter because of Ukmi Ilana. So a person who has a garden, who wants to water his garden, has to know these dinim to be able to know when is it ukmi and when is it ivriyeh for watering his things. If he's watering improperly, it's a tov of zereh. You're not allowed to do this. It's a kind of encouraging planting, so it's a machad rabban of zereh. So you have to know what he's doing. Okay. Rabbi Rimon, in the Sefer, I didn't know you were coming, but in his Sefer, absolutely wonderful. Anyway, he has a long discussion, and the discussion is half halacha and half agricultural. In this thing, he's very into the agriculture. This one usually it's less, but in this one very much so about cutting your grass and trimming your hedges and weeding your yard. Okay, and he's deep into the science of what goes on when you cut your grass and which time when you cut your grass does it make it grow more and which one does it just prevent it from getting some damage. And he has all kinds of deep understandings of what's going on with when you cut your grass. And Mamela, when you should and shouldn't cut your grass. Okay, sometimes you're allowed to cut your grass, sometimes you're not allowed to. And sometimes you could trim your hedges and not, and depending on all kinds of signs and halacha, all things together.
If what the Chazanish said, wouldn't we have said that we define cutting grass, and once we define it as ukmi or ruya, it's mutter, finished. It's not on Monday, it's mutter, and Tuesday, it's when gamas.
Let me ask you a question. If we say that you're allowed to water a beis hashlachan, you can water it every day. You can just water every time you want to.
So the watering is okay. Every year, what's the water?
Okay.
Water for 5 gallons, 7 gallons.
Okay. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that's correct. But in this case, also, he's very into the at which stages of the growth is it okay, and which cases is it for you? Okay. Now, I don't know what the answer to this. If you have to cut your grass, I don't know how many people cut.
I'm just telling you. Every single time I cut in the water, this, how much I'm watering, when I'm watering, is it?
Right. I don't know how many people have lawns, you know, they cut their grass. So I don't know how many people have their time. Okay. Now, this is more to people. Reb Chaim Kinsky has the following bunch of shaylos. He says, if a person is doing sponger, okay, and the water from their sponger pours out into the street. Okay, I don't know how many people still do that, but it pours out into the street, and it's going to land on the grass. It says, or you have an air conditioner. Or you have an air conditioner that drips water out the back of it. Or a guy is eating a fruit and he just, you know, drops the pit someplace. Okay, he said, so all of those are shilas of Malachas Rabbanan. Okay, you might be doing, you might be planting or watering and things like that. Because all those are shaylos. In the Sefer, he brings that it should be asur. Okay, he brings it for Rabbi Yosef that those things are asur. The Chasanish talks about it, and he says it's totally on a shaylo whether there's an isur of davar she'ein miskaven on Shemitah or not. This is such a thing. It's davar she'ein miskaven mutar asur on Shemitah. That's what it clears on. And what's really interesting is...
what's the shaylo? What should do with
I don't remember. But in Rav Asher Weiss brings all kinds of reasons why he thinks it's mutter, and he said he went to Rabbi Yashiv and Rav Chaim Kanievskin asked them, and they told him that if the person is not trying to water the grass, like he's turning on his air conditioning, he's not trying to water the grass, you know, he's just burning his air conditioning. So then it's really mutter. Now in the Darach Emunah, Rav Chaim Kanievskin says that it's also. Okay, but he says he asked Rav Chaim, he says no, if the guy doesn't have that in mind, then it's really okay. So you take it how you want.
Doesn't that mean that, that someone should arrange his air conditioner drain so
to not go on the grass? Right. Well, he said if it goes onto dirt, if it goes onto dirt that has no grass, that's, if it goes onto places that nothing grows on, like just a dirt, that would be okay.
But if it goes down grass, into a sidewalk that goes into a sewer,
that's okay.
That's okay. But if it goes into someone's garden or someone's backyard, which has stuff growing. Ultimately, it could be watering the ground.
Right, okay.
So the whole thing is a
glomer,
right?
It's a
Tarshan
Mskaven. Yeah, it's a
Rabbanon.
Okay, so Rav Asher convinced that it's mutter, and he said, but to me, he asked them, and they told him, it's only mutter, even on Sefer says it's mutter. Anyhow, next. If a person is taking down a wall, that's in the outdoors, so depending on how you do it, it could be considered a tal of chayresh because it's preparing the land better for growing. Okay, so there's dinim in Parak Beis, Naram Parak Beis about how you do that, and there's also dinim about people that raking and collecting firewood or clearing things away from your yard. Again, all those things are potentially chayresh. Chayresh means that you do things to make the land better for growing. So this is not plowing, but it may be soon to abandon if you do it the wrong way. Okay, the same thing goes also in the second paragraph. Tom talks about if a person digging, okay, when he's building, or in another din is a person's making a landfill, all these kind of cases, if you do it the wrong way, you're doing a malacha d'rabbanan, or you look like you're doing a malacha, and if you do it the wrong way, then it's asher. Okay. 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 Now, two more things. Two more little things like this. Okay. The sometimes the exact same action, when I do it, it's mutter, and for you do it, it's asher, completely dependent on my kavanah. And the case that is brought is like this: if I burn down a field. Okay, if I burn down a field because I want to clear the field out so that I can plant something, okay, that's awesome to rabbanan. I'm not allowed to do that. If I burn a field down because there are snakes crawling through the field and I want to kill the snakes or give them no place to live, then that's mutter. We both did the same thing. Both of us burnt the field down, but my kavanah was one thing and yours was different, and therefore it's mutter asa. And later place can say, if a person wants to put a tarp across his yard, okay, I'm forgetting to see it, put a tarp across it to kill everything that's growing, so it depends. If you're doing it because you want to kill what's growing there, that's fine. There's no issue on Shemitah to kill the produce, if it's not edible. I mean, to just kill what's growing there. But if I did it because I want to kill what's there so that tomorrow I can plant fresh grass or something else over there, then you're not to do that. That's harvest, preparing the ground for growing. Okay, the last thing is like this. If one of the malachas...
Is that really called the fetish of Shabbos?
I don't know.
Killing their
bird, killing their bird. Is it a malach on Shabbos also? If I'm doing it in order to make the land, chayrish means making the land suited for planting. That's what chayrish is.
Gotta be loosening the soil in some way.
Why is it loosening the soil?
Anything making ready for planting?
Well, to prepare the ground, I don't remember all the cases in chayrish, but that's a okay. Last thing is one malacha. There's one malacha that's different. One of the five or six that we mentioned last time, the malacha d'oraisa, is worse than all the rest of them, and that is different than all the rest of them. That's the malacha of the zayner. Okay, that's pruning grapevines. Okay, the malacha d'oraisa is pruning grapevines, and the malacha d'rabbanan would be to prune anything else. Okay, and that is like this. This is what Chasner says. He says, pruning does not mean cutting off branches off a tree. He says, pruning is strategically cutting off branches off a tree. That means it's only considered to be pruning if you're doing it in a very specific way with the plan to make a tree grow better. Okay, if you water something, or you plant the seed, it's zerei no matter what you did. It doesn't make a difference. But because it is, it accomplishes the goal. But pruning is not like that. Pruning means to prune it with planning and with you know, understanding of this is what has to be cut and this is what doesn't have to be cut in order to make it grow better. He says, and the mela. He says, and therefore, if a person cuts randomly, if somebody's cutting things away, that is not zerei. He said that's not zoymer, and he says that even for the derisa, even when we're talking about a potential mocha derisa of grape trees, it's still not derisa. And the mela, if he says, he had two cases. One is a person wants to cut down branches for schach. Okay, he wants to trim branches so that he can have schach. He says now, if he knew what he was doing, he might do that in a way that will help the plant grow. But the guy who's cutting for schach, he's just chopping away. He's just chopping branches away. It's obvious that that person's not being zoymer, and that person is allowed to do, even if it will be a grapevine. I mean, I don't think anybody cut grapevines for his schach, but even if it will be a derisa, you'd be allowed to cut it. And similarly, by his shul, they want to trim away branches. They would do branches growing into the walkway. Okay, and you couldn't get into shul. Okay, so they asked him, you're allowed to trim those away on Shemitah. And he said, yeah, not a problem. You can cut them away on Shemitah. Because the guy, is maybe a Zoymer. He says, not Zoymer. The guy says, no, I'm just taking out, you know, just an electrical, and just cutting it down, whatever's near the sidewalk. He's not doing it with any. Now, if that would have been a different malacha, we wouldn't say that. Zoymer, by its nature, means you're doing it with planning and with trying to make the plant grow better. He says, just randomly cutting things or cutting things with some other kavana is not Zoymer. I don't know how that applies to the municipal workers, you know, before Sukkot every year, they cut the fronds, or whatever you call them, off the palm trees, and they lay them out in the street for people to take for schach. So maybe those people know what they're doing. Maybe those people who cut, if they cut in Shemitah, maybe those people are being zoymer. I mean, they're planning, they're cutting it in a way that make the tree grow better. I don't think if they know what they're doing or they just randomly cut. But for regular people, for people who just stop cutting just because it's getting in your way, this branch is going into your yard, he says, that's not an Israel zoymer.